ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9 for opening day.
Looper, Pena, no hitter for Trevor Valdez.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's Branham here. No Blankers today.
Wink.
That was the point.
That you gave me grief for my attempt at it the other day.
Best effort?
No, I don't think that was your best effort.
I was mailing it in.
That's what I'm calling you out for.
Check the box. That was the intent. I'm not blowing out my voice at the start of the show for What Up H-Town. Hey, how we doing?
Disappointing.
Smart. You play your starters whenever you're up by 30 late in the game?
Okay, that's the equivalent of you giving effort on What Up H-Town? Playing starters up in the fourth quarter?
What is the importance of this show and my voice over the next two, hopefully 4 days, for What Up H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Why would I blow out a shoulder with What Up H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Yeah. I mean, especially depending on how long it takes to get our camera back, we might need you for a little bit longer, more of you for a little bit longer.
I'm not blowing out the old arm, throwing batting practice at 6-under tournament ball, you know?
Yeah, I don't think
my starters in late in the game. I'm not going 100% all out and having my vocal cords fry on What Up H-Town, Hey, how we doing at a 3:01 on a Thursday.
I think that just speaks for the strength of your voice, because Joel does it 5 days a week and has no problem recovering and keep going. But you're saying you can't do it once?
I didn't say I couldn't. I said it's not worth the risk.
Okay.
I've done it before. It's just not worth the risk.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing?
Not straining the vocal cords for, hey, what up, H-Town? Hey, I think I botched it. It is opening day. Killer Bees / Joe at East River 9. East River 9, your spot to catch Astros opening day. All your Sweet 16 tournament action. Of course, 4 games today, 4 games tomorrow. The Riverhouse Restaurant, your go-to sports-watching destination for college hoops, Stroh's Baseball, and every major golf tournament all season long. We're just a few weeks away from the Masters, by the way. They also have crawfish bowls at East River 9 every Saturday and Sunday through May. So get on out to East River 9, whether it's today to pester Joe, whether it's to watch Astros Baseball, Sweet 16, or just go out there every day. Of course, take advantage of their course. They have a driving range out there, pickleball courts. It's a fantastic time to be had for all. The texter says the best opening yet, Brian.
That's either /S or they just hate the opening and they're glad you mailed it in.
And then another texter, anything that doesn't align with your opinion is mailed in. Reasons you're annoying to listen to. That's a reason, not reasons. And I think I'm pretty open-minded. Now, I'm pretty open-minded. Now, you have to hit me with something good. Like, I'm open-minded. I'll listen to somebody else's opinion.
As long as it aligns with yours, right?
No, I change my mind all the time. I openly admit that. I always admit that I'm wrong. If you don't think that I admit that I'm wrong very much, well, then I'm not wrong very much. I admit every time I'm wrong. If you think it's few and far between, it's because I'm not wrong. It's what it is. See? Left you speechless. Astros opening day. They start at 6:05. First pitch for the Houston Astros today. As soon as we're off the air is whenever you can pay attention to the Astros. So 6:05 first pitch for the Houston Astros today. How excited are you watch opening day, Brian? You pretty excited for opening day around Major League Baseball and for the local nine?
Yeah, very excited. I mean, obviously there's been a lot of moving parts this offseason, you know, shipping out Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman, bringing Paredes and Christian Walker. Obviously the rotation's changed over a little bit, and we get to see the debut of the rookie phenom Cam Smith, so I'm very excited to see what this team looks like.
Yeah, I'm pretty fired up too. Lots of storylines this season, like what does Joe Espada look like in his second year as the manager? Like, I think that's something that, you know, is worth watching. Like, is he the leader of men that we all hope he is, or is he just kind of mid? A jury is out on that. Jose Altuve playing left field. What does that look like? How long does it last? There's a lot of people that don't think it's going to last very long. So, like, that is a storyline. Cam Smith. The Cam Smith thing to me is interesting, man. Like, 90% of me is Dana Brown thinks he's just so good and he's ready and he can handle the moment. And let's go. There is a sliver of my mind, though, that's like, this is kind of unprecedented. This is kind of fast. Five games above high A ball and only 20 plate appearances above high A ball. It's like, I hope they're right. Let me just put it that way. I hope they're right. And I do think that Dana Brown is doing this because he believes it's the right decision. I don't think it's desperation. I don't think it's a thing where he's trying to, you know, make his trade look good. I do think that Dana Brown is fully confident that Cam Smith is going to be a legitimate right fielder today, right now, his rookie year. But there is that sliver of my mind, guys, where it's like, this is very, very fast. So it's going to be fun to watch that storyline play out through the whole year as well. Joe?
Hello, Jeremy. Hello,
Joe,
Jeremy.
Are you there?
So I'm here. How are you?
You ready to go, huh?
Yeah, we had to move spots real quick. You know, just a little maneuver around East River 9. But we're here. Astros game about to start. So people are eating lunch, getting some beers in, and we're ready to go.
Yeah. So just set the scene for us. Pretty nice out there?
Yeah, a little rainy outside. So obviously not a lot of people golfing today with the weather that's coming in. But beautiful. They're setting up for an event they got going on today as well. But people are just here watching baseball, watching the Yankees and the Brewers right now, and waiting for the Astros game to get going. So it's very nice out here today.
Cool.
I wish I could golf.
You wish you could? You can golf. Anybody can golf. Now,
I wish I could golf well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe take some lessons.
They're expensive.
Joel could do it for free. He'd be happy to help you.
You think Joel and I would work well together in terms of him trying to teach me something?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, if it was the other way around, I think it'd be tough. But him as the teacher, I think, would work fine.
I think we would get too frustrated with each other. I think it would work with you and me.
No.
Why? You're too critical?
Well, I mean, if I'm too critical, that's up to who I'm being critical to. If you can't handle the criticism, then I guess it's too critical, but where does the fault lie?
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Joel and I would butt heads if you tried to teach me how to golf.
I'm not sure I
have the patience for that.
Where do you stand on opening day? You excited? You pumped up? Where are you on a scale of 1 to 10 here?
I think I'm a 9. I'm ready for opening day. I love baseball season. Baseball season, like the start of it, is always my favorite time of year, honestly. And I just love watching everything come together, and I can't wait to see this team play today, honestly, with Fromber on the mound. I think the Cam Smith stuff, it adds a lot to it, to just being more than just a normal opening day, honestly. It just adds an all-time excitement level. Because even when the Astros have called up these guys in the past, it's like, you know, they don't come up opening day often. They're normally mid-season call-ups or early-season call-ups. So I'm at like a 9 right now. I feel pretty pumped about baseball.
Yeah, I'm kind of I like how everybody's selling the Astros short. Like, it's kind of it's a fun position to be in. We're like, yeah, the Astros are being picked to finish second or third. So, like, that's kind of an interesting angle to look at this year as well. Texture, Astros World Series champions 2025, trophy emoji, trophy emoji, trophy emoji. I hope you're right, 5046. Another texture, is the game at 6 or 3? The game's at 6:05. As soon as the Killer Bees are off the air, you pull up the TV. The game's going to be there, first pitch at 6:05, texture. Another texture, don't the Astros start at 3:05, 3:10, not 6:05? It depends on who you believe, Dexter.
They got brandomed.
It depends on who you believe. My sources tell me that the Astros game begins at 6:05 once the Killer Bees are done for the show. Come on, guys, can't they watch the game on TV and listen to you on the radio? This is a conversation we had yesterday.
Yeah, what do you say, Jeremy?
I don't know. We're talking a lot of baseball today, so I guess I'm on your side.
I don't know.
Yeah. We're going to talk a lot of baseball. Like, what else are we going to do? Talk about mock drafts for 3 hours? Talk about Texans offensive line for 3 hours? Like, what is your optimal offensive line configuration for the next 180 minutes?
I don't think we've discussed the reasons they traded Laremy Tunsil enough. We could go back to that conversation.
Texter's asking, you're sure that they play at 6:05? Yeah, I'm 100% positive. I would never, ever Branham you. I would never do that.
Never.
Yeah. What else can we talk about for the next full 3 hours if we're not talking this Astros baseball game that's going to be ongoing when it starts at 6:05? You watch any F1 stuff? You been watching F1 lately?
No. Are you?
I watched the documentary. I get my recap when the documentary
comes
out.
That doesn't count. That's not watching F1.
Yeah, that's not watching F1.
Did I say I watched it?
Well, you're asking, so I'm assuming the way you asked
makes it seem
like
it.
Yeah, but the way you ask the question makes it seem like you watch it.
We could talk about the Shell Houston Open for 3 hours and how Tony Finau is on the golf course right now.
Yeah, that's not my fault, again. It's not my fault.
It's debatable.
It's not. No, it's someone debatable. Tweeted it. She had false information. Mm-hmm. And as we went to commercial break yesterday, as we went to commercial break yesterday for the final time, the Houston Astros sent out a PR email that said it's tomorrow night.
Okay. Joe, did you take journalism classes?
No, man. I went to an art school.
Well, Brian didn't take journalism classes either because he didn't learn AP style. But they teach you in journalism class that as a journalist, and I'm not a journalist anymore. I retired. My Emmy at ESPN 97.5 does not wear a journalism hat. But they teach you in journalism school that you fact check everything that you see. And what did I do as soon as you mentioned Tony Finau's throwing out the first pitch? I was like, you know what? That's a weird time. And I fact-checked, as a good journalist does, even though I don't wear the journalist hat ever, and found that out. So, yes, fault does lie with you. You cannot just wash your hands of any sort of blame here. There is blood on your hands here, Joe.
I guess so. I just, you know, I trust people. I trust reporters. I trust that when people put out information, it's correct. Especially if they're real reporters, not, you know, blog boys that pretend like they are. So I just go with the real reporters, and she was wrong. It's not my fault. I'm blame her.
Yeah, clearly you're just passing the buck. McCormick with over 23 home runs. The Chaz Chomp, I don't know if he's going to play enough to hit 23 home runs.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, and Sugarland.
Don't the Stros start at 3:10? You said 6:10 first pitch. Get it together, man. Yeah, they start when we go off the air. Another Tector, Cam Smith, the kid over 25 home runs. If he hits over 25 home runs, it's a great season. Great season. Probably rookie of the year season. You're probably getting an additional first-round draft pick if he hits over 25 home runs, which is kind of interesting, like looking at it from that point. And like Brian mentioned the other day, you shouldn't be making your decision based on that. It's just an additional perk. But there are some people, and I get it, there are some people like, oh, they shouldn't have lost the year of club control, which I don't mind as much whenever you're a playoff contender. If you're a perennial loser, then yes, manipulate the dude's service time. But if you're a playoff contender, like, play your best players. I'm always in favor of that whenever your team is good. But it's like, oh, no, they're going to lose an extra year. What if he wins Rookie of the Year and you just get an additional player and an additional 6 years with that player?
Yeah, and also you could also just give him a contract right now if you wanted to before you joined us yesterday. We're talking about Michael Harris, Luis Robert, like these guys who have come up in different organizations, and they're on their teams for 8 to 9 years because they got, you know, a club-friendly deal, but they got paid immediately. So they got a huge bonus when they got to the big leagues. Like, the Astros could do that right now. And I tried listening to Jim Crane's press conference today. It was not very well done.
What do you mean?
You couldn't hear the questions?
Where was it? Where did they publish this?
I was listening to it on the radio. So I from MLB.com, I'm guessing is where they got it from. But like he said that they never gave Alex Bregman a bigger offer. He was
good.
Asked about contracts, but like I couldn't tell who he was talking about in terms of like current guys on the teams.
He's got hops.
Oh man, you're ahead of me, aren't you?
I was waiting for you guys specifically for that because I think I'm ahead of you both. But that was an amazing leaping play by Pena.
Texture MLB Network app says 305. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Talk about them Rockets because they're going to win 52 games. We will. We'll talk a lot of basketball. First app, the MLB app shows first pitch 3:10. Don't trust your apps. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. The game is on. No, Jeremy Pena is not going to rob the Lindor of a line drive single. Framber Valdez isn't going to be dripped out with his chain. That stuff doesn't happen to 6:05. Framber isn't going to throw a first pitch ball to Juan Soto that misses up and in. That stuff is not going to happen at 3:10. That stuff's going to happen at 6:05.
Soto's not going to take the next pitch and single it to right.
Okay.
Hey, easy, B-Mac. You're way ahead of us.
A true Astro fan would know that the first pitch is 3:10 today. The first pitch is at 6:05. Tech, you're a casual if you think the Astros are playing at 3:10 today.
Definitely a casual to ESPN.
into this show.
A true Astro fan would know what time the first – he didn't say pitch. He said something that rhymes with pitch. I think autocorrect got you there, Texture. Predictive text got you. But
says something about their predictive text.
The game is on right now, Texture. No, Juan Soto isn't going to have a one-out single. That doesn't happen until 6:05. 713-780. Texter, bro, put it on 790 right now. The game is on, I promise. No, man.
It's unbelievable.
The game doesn't start till 6:05.
How few people get your
this doesn't
sarcasm.
Start. This is, we're 3 hours away from Astros opening day. I don't know what you guys are talking about. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Lots to get to today. We'll talk about Astros opening day, which we're 3 hours away from. We'll talk about which Astros can potentially win awards this season. What's best, worst case for Cam Smith? Bad Take Boulevard, Joe, will be there. He's going
to
be on Bad Take Boulevard.
How
long are the leashes on certain players as well? Busy show, 713-780-ESPN. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. That's right.
Correct. Yes, correct.
Brian's at SAC by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Akilah Reeves broadcasting from East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're tired about your favorite radio host giving you the wrong time on the Astros games, it's one reason for you to escape for the weekend, right? You're sick of that annoying guy that you turn the dial to every day. Well, get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort and get away from that. Escape the rat race. Escape the annoying dude. Escape the hustle and bustle of the job, traffic, or whatever is causing you stress. The best weekend idea for you, Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape all the stress and anxiety. Escape the city, the hustle and bustle, and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. At Two Creeks Crossing Resort, open green spaces. It's beautiful out there. Wildlife that you just don't see in the city. And beautiful, majestic trees. There's something about a majestic tree that does it for me, and it might do it for you, too. Also, some of the best fishing in Texas. Drop the line in the water and get yourself some of the best fishing in the Lone Star State. You can't beat that. It's just 90 minutes from Houston, too. It's a great perk of Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You spend all your time, whenever you're getting away from the city or whatever, you spend most of your time traveling, or a lot of your time traveling, more time than you want to spend traveling to your destination. You don't have to do that with Two Creeks Crossing Resort because it's only an hour and a half from the city. Hike on their 92-acre property, enjoy some pickleball. How about hanging out by the pool with a drink? Maybe kayaking is more of your thing. Well, you can do all of that at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They love to take care of you. They'll have some barbecue cook-offs. They'll have crawfish boils. You're always going to have a great time at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. From glamping to cabins to tree houses, or just pull up the RV if you have one, they have the perfect stay for anyone. Book your weekend escape now at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Here come the Astros, burning with desire.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. I haven't called myself that in a long time. But Killer Bees broadcasted at East River 9. Astros opening day, Sweet 16. At East River 9 all day today. Let's get out there. Lots of action. Four Sweet 16 games, an Astros game that will start at 6:05. Jose Altuve just told Jake Meyers, this is my outfield. Jake Meyers was trying to call him off on a ball in left center field, and Jose Altuve said, get out of my outfield. This is mine. I am the captain now. Did you see that play, Joe?
I did. What scares
Jake
me
calling for it.
I know. What does it remind you of?
You're going to say Yordan and Pena?
Yeah. Yeah, just a little
bit.
The
size difference a bit, but.
Well, I just think of the collision that happened. Which,
collision.
Honestly, I think we were here, ironically, at East River 9 when that happened.
I don't think so. I remember watching that game in studio.
Okay. Actually, I might have even been at the other place when that happened, now that I think about it. But
I don't know.
There's been a lot of moments here at East River 9 watching Astros games, though.
Yeah.
But,
the one I remember was the Altuve home run over Charles Leclerc.
Oh, yeah.
That's an F1 driver.
That's not true.
Half the people in the text line are going to take you seriously there.
I know.
Honestly,
no,
for a
Jeremy,
second there. He almost got me for a second.
Charles Leclerc is an F1 driver.
You know what? Okay. Anyway, you got it.
It was Jose Leclerc, wasn't it? Leclerc for the Rangers named Jose? Yeah, Jose Leclerc.
Yes.
That was the homer, the three-run homer in game five. And the Astros thought they were going to win the ALCS. Had to just win one game at home.
But yeah, I don't. That makes me a little nervous. I mean, we're going to see a collision at some point this season. It feels like not to. I mean, hopefully it's not a bad one, but I don't know. I don't really trust Jose Altuve in left field. To be honest with you, at all. Like, I really don't.
He took away a sinking line drive that could have easily been two runs, Joe. I think Jose Altuve is the leader in baseball right now in, like, defensive war. It could have been two runs for the bad guys. And Altuve made a great catch and then chases a slider off the plate. But yeah, first pitch, 6:05. Astros and Mets get the season started. Texter says, if you don't admit you're wrong, then you're not wrong. And if we don't fact-check you, it's on us. I admit I'm wrong every time I'm wrong. If you don't think that I'm admitting that I'm wrong enough, well, then I'm not wrong. Texter, when does the game start? 6:05. The texter is a Jack. Clearly has no sense of humor or listened to the show before. We love all of our listeners, whether it's the first time or whether it's every time. Texter in all capital letters and 3 exclamation points. You got Branhammed. Yeah, that is true. That is happening right now. The texter, Joe, that cursed at us earlier, he says, sorry, guys, about the profanity. That was first pitch, not the other word.
I appreciate the apology. Thank you.
Predictive text got him. Texter, Altuve just made a spectacular catch in left center. You see the future. Texter, that happened at 6:07. Yes, it did. Brandon T. has a question for you, Joe. Did you ever pay up on your bet?
You'll have it on Monday.
So is the answer to that no?
I don't think you're going to get it on Monday.
No, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to get it on Monday. I got you.
How long has it been now?
Brandon T is not my burner. Well, this was after the end of the 2024 NFL season. No, 2023.
Yeah. I'm going to pay yours up.
Oh, my Joel's though.
Jeremy's was a clear thing I owe him. It's very simple. It's cut and dry. Joel's is not. I gave him a choice. He has to choose. I let him choose his hat.
Huh.
I told him he could pick his hat. You got to pick your bottle of alcohol. I told him he could pick a hat. He's got to pick one.
He hadn't picked one yet.
I'll just get a pink Green Bay Packers hat then. I'll bring that on Monday.
Honestly, I don't think that Joel likes people paying up his bets.
Think he likes to have it? But see...
Yeah, I think he likes.
I feel like you're
the
one that always
heads.
Brings it up.
Well, I do it for the comedy. I really couldn't care less. Like, I really couldn't. Like, but the comedy of it's what's funny to me. But no, like every single time we try to come up with a new bet for like something that comes up on the show, he's like, "Well, we haven't paid up all our old bets." And then we're like, "Okay, well, let's figure out what the bets are." And it's like, "Oh, somebody owes him a Coke Zero," and he's like, "Oh, don't worry about it." And it's like,
he's never asked me once for the Star Pizza meal I own. He hasn't asked until
it comes up whenever we're trying to make another bet. Well, I don't think we're paid up on all the other ones. Well, let's make good. he doesn't want to make good. So it's kind of weird. Like, I don't really know how to explain it. It's something I've never really seen before. Texture, is Altuve a good defensive left fielder or a great one? Early indication, small sample size is great.
Yeah, great.
Great. Safe
Big
two runs.
Big reach. Good read.
Called off his center fielder, who was also calling for it.
Altuve, that's Jake Meyer's fault.
Altuve hasn't learned the rank of the outfield positions. Oh, the center fielder has free reign? When the center fielder calls for it, I'm supposed to get out of the way? You would think an infielder would know that, but apparently not.
No, Altuve's I think out there just, all gas, no brakes.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Altuve. This is my field now.
I think Jordan Alvarez. Jordan rule number 82. He should have a green light on 3-0 every time, no matter what. Every time, no matter what, by the way. Hearing you guys say Charles Leclerc is the most unintentionally hilarious thing I've heard all day. We're here to surf. What did you say?
Jim Crane in his press conference, he said Jordan's going to play left field this year.
Well, I mean, I think he's going to play a few games there, yeah.
But the way he said it, like, it made it seem like it was going to be more of a rotation. I was like, Jim, I think you're wrong on that one.
Yeah.
But
yeah. How many games do you think he plays in left, starts in left?
15.
Okay, I'll take the over on that. My answer would be 30.
It was, what, 53 last year?
Yeah, but they said he played way too many.
Yeah, I don't think they cut it all the way down to, what did you say, Joe, like 15?
Yeah, I said 15.
Yeah,
I don't think they cut it down quite that far.
I think it's probably in the 20s.
Yeah.
Without an injury happening, of course.
Texture, Jose is a superstar. Yeah, I think Jose is a superstar. I have no problem saying that. Now, his stardom might be fading. It might be waning. But he's still a superstar category for me, at least. For you?
Yes. Of course he's a superstar. Him and Jordan Alvarez are superstars.
Yeah,
those
I think
are
it's
the
only
two superstars
two you have.
Here.
Yeah, I think so.
And they're probably two of the four you have in the city overall.
Okay, go on.
Those two guys, Stroud and Anderson. Maybe Stingley.
Is,
so maybe
is
it's
Stingley
five.
Not a superstar.
Yeah, so I guess it's five.
Yeah, I would say. I'm trying to think of anybody else.
I mean, Nico.
No.
Yeah, Nico's superstar-y. Yeah, that's
yeah.
A good call. He's top ten receiver in the NFL. That's superstar caliber. Mixon, no. Tunsil's gone.
There's no Rockets.
Daniil Hunter.
No.
I don't.
Really?
I don't think he's. I don't think he's got a huge Q rating with the non-hardcore NFL fan.
Yeah. I don't think most Texans fans knew who he was before he signed here.
That's not true. That is, that is a stupid, stupid thing to say. He's from Houston, and he's one of the better defensive ends in the NFL for the last 15 years.
I don't think that many people knew who he was, I'm telling
Joe,
you.
Joe, you just called the city stupid by saying
No, I didn't.
Yes,
I
you
said
did.
Some fans.
You just told. You just said some. You said most. I think. I'm pretty sure
I think
you
I
said
did say most.
Most.
Yeah, you said.
You
most.
Just said most fans in Houston are NFL casuals, is what you just said. The dude grew up in Houston and has been one of the best defensive ends in the NFL for the last 12 years. And you're saying that our listeners are casuals and don't know who he is?
I didn't say our listeners. Our listeners are the smart ones.
This is maybe one of the craziest things you've ever said, and you have a smorgasbord of them. Like, you have a lot of radical things that come out of your mouth.
No, I don't think it's that many.
This is a guy who had 16 and a half sacks before he came to the Texans, who was a two-time AP team selection, who was a – not that Pro Bowls matter, but it kind of does lead to some popularity, right, if you make a Pro Bowl. He was a four-time Pro Bowler. And you're saying that this city doesn't know that one of their players that came out of this city knows who that guy is?
I don't think a lot of Texans fans watch NFC North football.
713-780-ESPN. Did you know who Daniil Hunter was before he joined the Houston Texans? 713-780-3776. And if you did know who Daniil Hunter was before he joined the Houston Texans, how stupid of a comment was that from Joe George?
Just you,
713-780-3776. Also, when we come back, Astros are being predicted to finish third lots of places. Do you prefer seeing the Astros as the dogs behind in the pack, or do you like them to be the lead horse out in front? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go! We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. We're Texas proud. And we shout it loud, our brand of baseball is great.
You're back with the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
This is your spot to watch the Astros. Watch Sweet 16, four games tonight, East River 9. Riverhouse Restaurant, your go-to sports watching destination for college hoops, Astros baseball, and every major golf tournament all season long. And they also do a crawfish bowl every Saturday and Sunday through May. Can't beat that. Joe's watching the Astros game right now. For some of us, it starts at 6:05. Altuve just got tested by a line drive to left field. And you remember that silly conversation that short guys can't play left field because they're not going to be able to catch line drives that are hit at them because it might go over their head? Well, he caught it, Joe. He caught a line drive to left.
Well, but it was Adam.
Where was his back foot?
I didn't. On the warning track, I think?
The shade in front of the warning track. Like, I don't think the line drive to left field at Minute Maid Park is really that big a deal. Like, people were saying, oh, he's too short. He's not going to be able to catch the line drive.
And he has to jump a little bit sometimes. He has to jump. It's okay.
If he takes a step further back, he's on the track. Oh, he can't catch the line drive. He's 5'6". Can't catch liners if you're 5'6". Ridiculous.
It's just people who like to height shame.
Casual,
you know?
Takes.
I've been dealing with it my whole life. You know, people height shaming me. So now it's just happening to Jose Altuve.
You know where the height really matters on line drives? Like, is a defender trying to catch them on the infield? On the infield.
Oh yeah, with like the play Pena made in the first inning. Yeah,
that's where the height can be a factor. Is whenever you're an infielder trying to catch a line drive, in the outfield, it's almost never. Like, the difference between being 5'6 and 6'2 on a line drive in the outfield is almost never going to come into play. And it gets severely reduced when you're playing left field at Minute Maid and you got the Crawford boxes. It's one of It made me sick every time I heard that. I was like, this casual guy.
Like, I guess there might be some walls like in around baseball that are going to be more challenging for him to try to like go up and over and rob a home run. But even then, like, it's, I don't know. I feel like it's the height thing was a built-in excuse that people were trying to give Jose Altuve for if it was a disaster.
I think so.
They can blame that.
No, I think they were just haters of the decision. And, like, this is a reason why it's going to be awful, because that one time a year, Jose Altuve is not going to be tall enough to catch a line drive to left. Okay, well, what about all the other shots where he was trying to catch a line drive at second? Mm-hmm. Like, we forget about that? That doesn't matter? That doesn't come into play? I'm sorry. Astros 605. You just made the list, says a texter to you, Joe.
Just made the list!
You blamed, you said that Astro fans... Texans fans said that they didn't know who you said they didn't know who Danielle Hunter was before he became a Texan. Texas says, yes, I did, but only because of Madden.
Ooh.
That counts, though. That counts.
I don't know.
No,
absolutely,
I don't know.
I guess you're trying
to defend your stance.
No, but
that's
like, that's
part of
not
being
the
a superstar.
Same.
Does it matter if you're on the Madden cover?
No, it's
cover?
Not.
Does that
dude.
Help your stardom? Does being on the Madden cover help your stardom?
He wasn't on the Madden cover.
I'm not saying he was. Does being on the Madden cover help a player stardom?
Yes.
Okay. How many people play Madden? Millions?
A lot of people.
A lot of people. That is going to lead to a player's cachet. That is going to lead to a player's popularity. So if you know a player through Madden, that's adding another person that knows your name.
No, it does not.
Counts.
No.
Yes, it,
because
knowing him,
he's just in the game.
Joe,
he's just
whenever
on the
you set up this argument, when you set up this argument, you said you said most people did not know who Danielle Hunter was. This guy knows who Danielle Hunter is. You can't throw provisions in there on how they know him.
Yes, I can.
Because you're supporting your argument. But you're gaslighting, is what you're doing.
Because when people play College Football 25 and they can all of a sudden name half the roster of the Rice football team, it doesn't mean Sean Mapes is a genius about Rice football. No, he just played College Football 25 for 3 years, and he knows the roster inside and out.
Joe,
like,
you didn't say they have to be a genius. You said they
don't know
who Danielle Hunter is. Even if you only know him through Madden, you know him. So, yes, Madden absolutely counts. Afraid to say Joe is right.
Boom.
A few of the guys at the bar didn't know Hunter. Where are you what kind of bars are you hanging out at, man? Like, what kind of bar are you I don't want to go to a bar and hang out with people if they don't know Danielle Hunter. I kind of question the bar, too. Like, where is this bar located? What kind of bars are you tending, my guy? Where are you going here? They don't know Danielle Hunter. Superstar is a popularity. Altuve is the only superstar in Houston. That's not true. C.J. Stroud's a superstar. Will Anderson's a superstar. I think Derek Stingley's in the conversation. Nico's in the conversation.
Yep. Alvarez.
Yordan for sure.
I don't think there's anyone else.
He's
the closest Rocket, right?
I'd really like to get Jalen Green into some stardom. But I don't,
Alby, he wasn't all-star.
I wouldn't say he is.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Yeah. No, I think that's the list. Is Fromber close to it?
Production he is. He didn't have cachet, though.
Yeah.
Like, his cachet's not there. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
713-780-ESPN. Texture says that bar is down around the Montrose area. I don't know what that means. Wink, wink. I kind of understood what I was getting to there. No, not reading that. Not reading that. Not reading that text either. A lot of people are guessing where this bar is at. Oh, somebody said Humble. Oh, somebody said Timeout. Timeout Tavern in Humble. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I do know about Timeout Tavern. More Atascocita than Humble, but still Humble. Humble-y. Oh, man. All right. Astros are third a lot of places when you see predictions and stuff like that. Do you prefer seeing the Astros as the underdogs or the favorites?
I like to see them as the favorite. Because they've been the favorite. I don't need to see it change. I'm fine with them just being towards the front of the pack at all the time and people, you know, firmly believing that they're going to be good. I think in terms of being an underdog, I like to just view them more as an underdog in terms of, like, World Series odds. I think it's strange that people are picking them to finish third in the West this year. I don't quite get it.
Who do you think's better, the Rangers or the Mariners?
I think the Rangers are better. I think so. I think it's the Rangers because I think it's easier to I think it's easier to acquire pitching than it is to fix an offense that you didn't add anything to. I mean, the Rangers at least made moves this offseason. The Mariners, they didn't make any moves. They're the same exact team they were last year. So I'll say the Rangers are the better team.
Yeah, it's kind of they're just so different. Like, I think, I don't know. Rangers pitching's so bad. But if, like, Rocker's decent and, like, Leiter's different. How about that? Cam Smith, base hit in his first big league at bat. How, look, Dana Brown is a savant. Dana Brown is a genius. Cam Smith's ready for the moment. He might hit 350 this year. He might hit 45 homers this year. Big time believer in Cam Smith.
Right,
that's pretty cool,
again,
though.
Too.
Well, that's all he's going to do. He goes the other way. That's, like, the knock on him, actually. The knock on him coming into the draft was that he doesn't pull the ball, and they're scared that because he doesn't pull the ball, he's not going to hit tons of home runs because he doesn't have the pull power. So get ready for a lot of balls to right with Cam. I think for him to be a 40-home run guy, he's probably going to have to pull it more. But it's not really a swing. He kind of has like a Stanton swing, like a Chaz McCormick swing, hopefully better than both of those guys, and clearly better than Chaz because they gave him the right field job and not Chaz. But, yeah, he goes the other way a lot. He likes to use the other half of the field.
Well, maybe playing at Minute Maid, like, it'll correct some of that stuff. Just having the Crawford boxes there, I mean, maybe he won't have big numbers pulling the ball in other ballparks, but maybe in Minute Maid it'll balance itself out a little bit too. That'd be nice. I mean, if he could be a 40-home run guy, having two of those in the lineup, woohoo!
I think it's going to take a while. I don't think he can be a 40-home run guy until, like, year three.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really want him messing with the swing depending on what stadium he's in. Like, especially this far into his career where he's only had five games above the double-A major. Let's not make a lot of corrections to his swing just yet.
I'd like him to be able to pull the ball more, though. Like,
sure,
I just don't want him
going into, okay, home game, I'm going to try to pull it all the time.
No, I don't want him to change his swing based on the ballpark he's playing in. I'm with you. Like, I'm talking about just wholesale adjustments, just him as a player. Like, he hit a spring training home run in left center field. Like, that was like, okay, here we go. Like, give me some pull power. For him, and look, we're talking about a guy playing in his first game being a 40-home run type. But Mauricio Dubon called him a 60-home run type, so at least we're not doing that. I do think for him to unlock 40-home run potential, he is going to have to learn to pull the ball more. One of the other knocks on his power, was that he doesn't lift the ball a ton. That he, you know, hits the ball to right and hits it, like, on the line or on the ground a ton. So, like, if he were to develop into a 40-home run guy, because he certainly has the physique and he certainly has the frame and the power, that he needs to add lift and he needs to add pull. So it'll be fun to watch his career and see if that happens. Because, I mean, could you take a 300 hitter that hits 12 homers? I mean, I could, but we think he has more power, right?
Yeah, I think people would be – you'd be happy with it, but I think there would still be some general disappointment if he's not a 20-plus at a minimum home run a year guy, even if the average is 300. He just looks like a guy who's going to mash. So I think
people are
expecting of him.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a 22-year-old that's played five games, now six games above high A ball. So, like, we're being super, like, hypercritical. Mm-hmm. And look, we all love Cam. We all think Cam's going to be great. We're talking what can separate him from being a 25-homer guy to a 40-homer guy as he's playing in his first big league game. But it would probably – oh, Astros in business here a little bit, huh? I have a feeling the Astros –
I love more than bases loaded for Jake Myers.
Yeah, let's see if Jake from Rake is back. Rake Farm. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go to break so I can watch this at bat. Astros do start at 6:05, though. 713-780-ESPN. What awards can the Astro players be in contention for this season? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility and cost. Unwill is here to help you save with both of those things. Let them take a little off your plate, but save you some money. A lot of homeowners overpay paying on property taxes, and it shouldn't be you. Head to ownwell.com, sign up in less than 3 minutes to get their experts fighting for you. Their cutting-edge technology can start saving you money with no upfront cost. Put your property tax savings back in your pocket, reinvest it, take the family on vacation, or pay up a bet that you haven't paid. Ownwell handles it all from start to finish and delivers top results. No upfront cost, only pay if you save. You can't beat that. Ownwell levels the playing field, eliminates the concern of paying too much on property tax for the everyday home and property owner like you and me. 86% of Ownwell's customers receive a reduction, with the average customer saving over $1,100. How about that? The deadline to protest, May 15th. Don't run out of time. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start your protest today at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
Sam Knight, Wild Wild Baby. Say, man, how about them strolls, baby?
They say if you ain't got no haters, then you ain't got nothing popping. But in one face, that has never been an option.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
First time I've ever heard this song. Should I know what this song is? Anybody?
Yeah, sorry, I was having to do three things at once. Yeah, it's like, how about them Strohs by Paul Wall?
This is Paul Wall?
Yeah, well, Paul Wall featuring Sam Knight, yes. Now we have Paul.
Have you heard this song?
Yeah, I've heard this song.
I didn't know Paul Wall had this. Not bad, Paul.
You've never heard this before at all?
I've never heard this song in my life.
Branham is sometimes in a cave when it comes to music.
I just assumed that like one of us would have played it for him at some point on the air.
Like, this is popular? This isn't popular.
Well, I mean, amongst Astros fans.
Is it?
I think so.
I mean, this is...
I mean, Paul
isn't
uses
this the,
it
almost
every day.
This is the trombone.
Yeah.
Is that a feather in your cap?
I'm just saying it's a reason why you maybe should have heard it.
I mean, it has 68,000 views on YouTube.
How many?
68,000?
That's not a lot.
That's actually not
that's a lot.
That's
not a lot.
That's not a lot.
I don't think this song's popular. Yeah, I've never heard this. Brian's pulling out all his Astro songs. I don't know if you're having anything left for the next 2 hours, though.
Yeah, this might be it. But again, first pitch, 6:05.
Yeah, that's why he's playing all these songs, is to fire you up for Astros opening day. Which, by the way, how about Jake Myers hustling up the line? A little ribby on opening day for Jake the Rake?
Silver lining, you're trying to spin it?
Yeah, I mean, how about...
I'm not trying to spin it. Yeah, no.
A lazy ground ball to the shortstop?
Are you guys noobs?
you're
unhappy with the result of that at
bat? No, I'm happy he got a run and didn't end the inning, but, I mean, if he's a half a step slower, is it ending any double play?
But he's not half a step slower. It's him hustling, putting the ball in play, and hitting a ground ball to an infield that's back.
I'm not hustling it for
an RBI. That's good baseball.
I'm not going to be happy about hitting a ground ball double play to the shortstop.
He didn't hit a double play because he's fast. And, dude, that's what hitters do. You have infield playing back with a runner at third, less than two outs. You hit a ball up the middle to an infielder, and then you drive in the run. That's baseball 101.
That wasn't up the middle, though.
Yes, it was.
I mean, to me, okay, I guess we're nitpicking now. But to me, up the middle would be over
nitpicking.
The second
we're
base
being
back.
Factual.
To me, up
mean?
The middle will be over the second base back.
Is the second baseman a middle infielder? Is the shortstop a middle infielder?
Like I said, now we're nitpicking what the
definition is. No, we're not. We're being very descriptive of what the middle of the field is.
I'm saying I'm nitpicking. My own personal interpretation of middle would be over the second base back.
Good. XX Ron, BMAC hating when bottom of the lineup gets an RBI. Yeah, you get Jake Myers driving in a run and we're going to complain? It's one of 162. What are we doing here, Brian? One of 162, and we're getting mad at Jake Myers for an RBI groundout. I'll take an RBI groundout every time that Jake Myers is batting.
Not with bases loaded. All the time. You got to drive in a couple guys.
Every time. No, because that would mean it would have to result in a hit, and the dude hits 220. Let's play the math here a little bit. If Jake Myers had an RBI ground on every single one of his bats, that's a 500 RBI year. What do you mean?
I mean, it would be great.
He's on base for 162 right now.
I'm not on base guy. I'm just telling. I'm trying to give y'all an example of this. This was at a productive at bat.
I didn't say it wasn't a productive at bat. Don't say you guys. I would have liked more. I would like more from Jake Myers, but I'll take it for a start.
That's a change of your opinion.
I'll take it.
You were with me until Jeremy went off.
Yeah, no, that's not true. My point well.
I mean, I would have liked a more productive at bat, but like it does score a run. Like it accomplishes what it's supposed to.
Any at bat or plate appearances that ends with an RBI is a solid appearance at the plate. Every time. Especially for Jake Myers, who's one of the worst offensive players in baseball. Success.
He's your 9-hole hitter, so like you take it with what it is, but I think we always want a little bit more. We want Jake from Rake Farm, not Jake from ground out to second baseman farm.
This is why you guys complain so much, is because your expectations are way up here. And this is why I don't complain almost ever, because my expectations are right here where they should be. That's why I never, ever complain and gripe about anything, ever, ever. I'm super positive. I only see the great things of certain situations. I never see moments in the clubhouse that are cringy and cheesy. I always look at the great things in things.
I think we did three segments on one of your complaints yesterday.
Never, never, ever complain. Never buzz-killing anything. Always positive and upbeat. And, always the belle of the ball, quite frankly. I don't love what the Shin's doing with this bottom third graphic, though. Like where they have the batter name. I don't love that it has the number of the player, and I don't love how it has the number of his spot in the order. It's kind of busy. Just put Alonso up there. Just put Altuve up there. I don't need his number, and I don't need his spot in the order. I don't think I like it.
Why? Just because you just don't want it there?
It's busy. Like there's a lot of stuff going on there, especially a lot of numbers.
I believe the complaint.
If you wanted to put
that's a complaint.
If you wanted to put the little – no, this is not a complaint. Yeah, you're right, it is.
What else would it be?
I don't – no, I said it is. I concede. You guys are right. I am wrong. See? People say I never admit I'm wrong. I just did it. I don't like the numbers. There's too many numbers there. If you wanted to do the jersey number and that little left thing, that's fine. But the spot in the batting order that they hit, I don't need 3-dot Pete Alonso. Just put Alonso up there.
This feels like a real nitpick.
You think so? Brian's on my side. We were talking about during the break. He might have changed his opinion, though, because I went off on him about Myers.
No, we're actually kind of opposite. I don't need the uniform number because I can see it on the player. I don't mind the spot in the batting order coming up. If it's for the opponent and you're not familiar with the opponent, maybe, especially when the relief pitchers start coming in, it's not bad to have that there to think about who's facing who as far as what spot in the lineup.
Not a huge fan of it.
Number. I could just see that on the uniform.
Yeah, I would get rid of both numbers, honestly. But if I can only get rid of one of the numbers, I would get rid of the batting order number. But if I could get rid of both, I would do that. How about Fromber shattering Alonso's bat? Attaboy. 713-780 ESPN first pitch 605. Texter says that song is absolutely awful. The only worse thing than Jake Myers' batting average. Ooh man,
wow,
shots
Paul
fired
Wilson?
At Paul.
I'm gonna have to play it again.
Textured, never heard that in my life. Good. Even though Altuve struck out, it's encouraging to see him work the count. I hope the strikeouts don't cause him to revert to an undisciplined bat. Yeah, Altuve's 0 for 2 with 2 strikeouts. Two solid plays in the outfield, but 0 for 2 with 2 strikeouts.
In that first at bat, he swung wildly at a sweeper way out of the zone, too. It was classic Altuve.
It was very
Biggio-y. The bad part of Altuve.
I think this text is Team BMAC here. Why does a batter get a sacrifice fly if they hit a long ball to the outfield and a run scores? But if you hit a ground out or fielder's choice, then a run scores, you don't get a sacrifice.
That's not arguing for Brian. That's arguing.
I feel like
that's really more of a stat argument.
Yeah, it's a stat argument.
But Myers gets an RBI there.
Yeah, but he does. He still gets punished for at bat.
Right, right. He's 0 for 1, but he gets the RBI. Like, you don't get an RBI if you ground into a double play with no outs and a runner scores. But in that situation, since Jake avoided the double play, he gets the RBI.
Thank you for mansplaining that to us, Brian. We all knew that.
Well, maybe the texter didn't.
Yes, he did. I think the texter spelled it out perfectly.
I think the texter's trying to kind of agree with you, Brian, of like, if it dings your batting average, it means it's not a successful play.
No, he's not saying that. The texter's saying that it should count as a sacrifice ground out. He's saying that you should get credit for that being a sacrifice, just like you would get credit for being a sacrifice fly, which I actually agree with the texter. Like, it was a productive appearance at the plate, just like a sacrifice fly. We'd be giving him high fives when he came into the dugout, just like Jake Meyers got high fives when he came into the dugout. I actually agree with that texter. I do think an RBI ground out should be like a sacrifice ground out, much like a sacrifice fly that leads to a run is not an at-bat. I 100% agree. I also think we should give hitters credit when they hit the ball to the right side, when a runner's at second with less than one out, and he moves over to third base. Why shouldn't that guy get a sacrifice there? If he's bunting, he gets a sacrifice bunt. If he hits a deep fly ball to right field, he actually doesn't. I think there's a lot of scoring inconsistencies there, Texter. I agree with you. All right.
Do you want me to add something to that?
No, I guess not.
I thought you made a great point. I didn't know what else to add.
BMAC makes the list. BMAC, shut up. This is because of your hate on Jake Meyers for getting an RBI.
You just made the list!
Brian. Did you put yourself on the list?
No, the texter did. I was just hitting the button.
Oh, well, that shows great growth, though. I'm proud of you. Texter, Jake Meyers batting 100. No, he's not. He said 1,000, but he's not. Jake Meyers is 0 for 1 with an RBI. The previous texter saying he should be 0 for 0 with an RBI. I agree about that. Not reading that text. Yeah, sacrifice, but to advance the runner, there's a sacrifice, but it's still an out. It's some crazy rules, Brian. I think that if you can tell a batter is trying to move the runner over, that he should get a sacrifice. Like, if there's a runner at second, less than one out, and you hit a ground ball to the right side, you did a job. I think you should get a sacrifice, much like you get a sac fly. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP, listener line. What awards can Astros players contend for this year? 713-780-3776. Killer Reese, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.